One of the most powerful men in Washington is the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. A Republican of Kentucky, McConnell has drawn ire not only from Democrats, but from Republicans who see him as the consummate Washington insider, although he's been very successful at achieving Republican goals. We're going to take a few minutes now for a close look at McConnell with Paul Kane, senior congressional correspondent and columnist for The Washington Post. Paul, take us back. Who is Mitch McConnell? How did he get involved in politics and why?
So Mitch McConnell grew up as a son of the South in a small family, only child. He had polio, and his father was off in fighting World War II, and his mother brought him to the Roosevelt compound in Warm Springs, Georgia, where he, you know, learned how to overcome polio. It was sort of the beginnings of what he would call the long game. And as a polio survivor, he wasn't a great athlete. He wasn't completely disabled. And basically at a really early age in high school, he had the political bug. He knew back then that he wasn't the most popular kid, and he developed what would be something, a hallmark that would stay with him well into his 70s. It was all about tactics. He won his high school class presidency not by making the biggest promises or having the best vision for what would happen to the school. He just knew exactly how to campaign better than anybody else and put together a campaign in which he went around to all the most popular cheerleaders and all the most popular jocks in the high school and got them to endorse him. And then he made up these endorsement sheets, almost like a whip card that you'd see in the Senate today. And it just had a list of all the popular people endorsing Mitch McConnell. And he walked around slipping these inside the locker of people. It was a really big high school back then from grades 7 through 12, he once told me. So the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders really didn't know any of the upperclassmen. But they got these cards that said, you know, captain of the football team endorses Mitch McConnell for class president. And boom, who won class president? Mitch McConnell.
So he figured out how to win elections. What was it that drove him when it comes to issues?
Issues were always a bit flexible early in McConnell's political career. By the time he got to the University of Louisville and became an intern in the Senate, he was interning for John Sherman Cooper, who was a moderate Republican who worked closely with President Kennedy, who fought very much on the side of the Civil Rights Act. So McConnell's early instincts were actually fairly moderate by today's standards on all of sort of the hot button issues when it came to things like civil rights and abortion. Eventually in 1969-70, he comes to the Senate working for a Republican senator named Marlo Cook. Cook was the Judiciary Committee Republican, and Cook was also given the sort of tasked by the Nixon White House as being the main supporter of his Supreme Court nominees. And those two were very controversial, and Democrats put up a huge fight and eventually defeated both of them. And it was a sort of searing moment in McConnell's life. He ends up writing a University of Kentucky Law Review article all about how we shouldn't be looking at too much of the politics of these nominees. It's a viewpoint that back in 2016, when McConnell had basically put a blanket hold on Merrick Garland,
right,
for very political reasons, but those were his views back then. He then ends up in the Nixon Justice Department in a period of life that, I'll be honest, he has kind of washed it out of his biography. He then, by about 1975, heads back to Louisville full-time and decides it's time to get into politics. And he won his first big race in 1977.
And then he got to the Senate when?
He gets to the Senate in 1984 on the coattails of Ronald Reagan, running against an incumbent Democrat, targeting the incumbent Democratic senator as sort of aloof, nowhere to be found, on junkets, and he brought out bloodhounds. His ad maker brought out bloodhounds and were sort of running around Kentucky in this famous ad searching for the incumbent senator. And that helped propel McConnell to what was considered an upset win then, because, you know, the South had still not fully transformed at the Senate, congressional, local level. So he was part of sort of a minority of Republicans from the South at that point in 1984.
One of the issues that he's been very consistent on over the years is campaign spending limits. He has long opposed legislation on that. Here he is speaking out against a constitutional amendment proposed in 2014, which would have allowed Congress and states to set limits on raising and spending in campaigns.
But the political nature of this exercise should not obscure how shockingly bad this proposal is. This is embarrassingly bad to be advocating for the first time in our history that we amend the First Amendment to restrict the rights of citizens to speak.
Why is this issue so important to him?
There are only a few real core issues that have stuck with him, and this is one of them. He believes that he is a proud defender of the First Amendment. He believes that political speech is unlimited, completely protected, and anybody at any price should be allowed to speak it. And it rubs people the wrong way because you end up having a corporation or a super rich person who can dwarf what the average person can spend for his or her political speech.
McConnell is very opposed to term limits for lawmakers as well.
Yes. And again, I think he would believe that that fits into this sort of same vein of consistency. If in a perfect world of free speech, anybody can say anything they want about a senator within the law, and you either vote them out or you vote them back in, and that the voters there are the ultimate check on term limits.
One of the things that Mitch McConnell got a lot of attention for in the early years of President Obama's first term was that he said, and he was minority leader in the Senate at the time, he told the conservative magazine, The National Review, that the single most important thing that he wanted to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president. Later, he clarified his position to the right-wing Heritage Foundation. Let's listen.
Over the past week, some have said it was indelicate of me to suggest that our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term. But the fact is, if our primary legislative goals are to repeal and replace the health spending bill, to end the bailouts, cut spending, and shrink the size and scope of government, the only way to do all of those things is to put someone in the White House who won't veto any of these things.
While McConnell may not have succeeded in that goal of keeping Obama to one term, how did his strategy of opposition to President Obama work out for him and the Republican Party?
Very early on, he looked around and they had only 40 senators. And he made this political calculus that if he could hold all 40 of his Republican men and women together, that would put all the pressure on the Democrats to get all 60 of their votes. And it then makes every single Senate Democrat the deciding vote on a big issue. And that is exactly how it played out on what Republicans derisively call Obamacare. You know, and Democrats and Harry Reid in particular, the majority leader of the time, thought this was a viciously cynical strategy. But it made the law almost delegitimized as a purely partisan exercise, passed by 60 Democrats and opposed by 40 Republicans. And that was essentially the political goal, was to put all the heat on Democrats and then make almost all of their legislation feel as if it was a Democratic-only exercise, and so that if the public had recoiled at anything, they would be recoiling at the Democrats. And that's pretty much how the 2010 midterm elections unfolded. Mm-hmm. Unemployment was up around 10% for most of 2010, and the public just got angrier and angrier. And the backlash snapped into effect when Republicans swept in and won a huge House majority and picked up almost 6 seats in the Senate, not quite getting to the majority, but setting the stage for Republicans to eventually win back the majority in the Senate.
It's Paul Kane of The Washington Post. Tomorrow, we'll continue our conversation and hear what McConnell did with the Senate majority and how he's reshaped the Supreme Court.